The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer. Season 2, Episode 1, recorded live at Advertising Week Europe. Features: Julia Zucchini, Commercial Strategy Director of ESL Faceit Group, in conversation with Justin Cook, Chairman of Demand Exchange.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Advertising Week Europe here in London. I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Julia Zucchini, who's the Commercial Partnerships Strategy Director at ESL Faceit Group. Julia, hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm really well, thanks, and so excited about this conversation. First of all, tell us a little bit about ESL Faceit Group.
Yeah, of course. ESL Faceit Group is the largest esports company in the world. We are the leader for esports events through our ESL vertical, but we also have a gaming platform called Faceit with over 30 million gamers, and we also do gaming festivals, so we're really at the center of gaming culture.
And you have had what I can only describe as an incredible kind of career to date. Could you just give us a bit of a plotted history of how you got from where to here?
Yeah, so my background is actually traditional sports. I used to play professional basketball, so kind of took the route of then developing my career in sports. It's something that I've always loved. I started working in Premier League football on a data analytics and sponsorship side of things. I then joined Formula One with the Liberty Media acquisition, and again was heading up business intelligence there for the league. And then when COVID hit, I had the opportunity to join the wonderful, crazy world of gaming, which was really, I mean, gaming has been around for a long time, obviously, but it was really starting to gain some traction, especially from the esports side. And so I joined ESL Faceit Group in 2021 now.
And what does your role entail?
Yeah, other than being a big mouthful for you to say, I primarily work with our commercial team and all of our business development people, but I sit behind the scenes to really support on a more insight-driven function that kind of intertwines with creative as well. So with my team of analysts, we really look at all the data surrounding gaming and our audiences, and we look to package that up then in creative ways to work with brands and sponsors to really take gaming to the next level, esports to the next level, and really offer something quite special to our gaming community.
So going back to your kind of career previously, tell me about some of the kind of key sort of similarities and learnings that you can take from working in Formula One, working in sport, and translate that to gaming.
There's actually quite a lot of similarities, especially obviously from the physical live event side of things. So what we do with ESL is we have over 26 events across the globe every year. And, you know, we have sold out arenas, whether we're in Rio de Janeiro or Tokyo or Melbourne. And so there's a lot of learnings there in terms of fan engagement. What can you do in terms of the spectacle of gaming or sports? That obviously Formula One was an incredible spectacle, and I think they really had the entertainment element down. Gaming can learn from that, but I also think gaming has a lot of opportunities to evolve that and take it to the next level, because we have an audience that is very digitally savvy and they also really know how to connect that digital and physical world. So it's been a really exciting journey to be able to obviously contribute to live esports events and the gaming side of things, but also then connect the dots more digitally with what our digital community does and what they want to see and how they can sort of stay within our ecosystem. So people that game on our platforms and then attend our events, and how we can really keep them connected that way.
Tell me about how brands and marketeers who perhaps aren't hugely knowledgeable about this world can really realize the opportunity that it presents.
We obviously speak to so many brands on a regular basis, and I think usually the most important thing is for brands to come to us because they know what they're trying to achieve through gaming. I think sometimes some brands tend to fall into the trap of just following trends, and they get into gaming and they don't really know what they're trying to achieve. But I think if they have quite, not even specific KPIs, but just KPIs in general that they want to achieve. So whether it's, you know, targeting a Gen Z audience, or just diversifying their audience, or focusing more on the digital realm and what they could do there to interact with a more engaged audience and in a more, let's say, intrinsic way of actually dealing with that generation. So instead of just, you know, a passive campaign that they might be doing, they want to have that really deep engagement with the community, then we can come and help there. Gaming and esports is a very wide spectrum, a very wide ecosystem. So I would say to any brand looking to get involved is talk to experts, whether it's EFG, whether it's agencies that really focus on the space, to figure out where you're best suited. So for example, maybe you're best suited to working across traditional sports games because you're trying to look for, you know, maybe I'll make it up now, but you are an Nike and you already work with traditional sports and you want to do something very cool in gaming. So maybe you're best suited for EAFC and something down that path. But maybe if you're a tech company and you're willing to do something that's a little bit edgier and you want to tap into a different community, you might want to look into Dota 2 or League of Legends or something that's a little different. So important to work with experts to narrow down which subcategory of gaming you want to go into, whether it's esports, whether it's general gaming culture, and then work on activations that are authentic and give back to the community. The gaming community is very vocal. If you disrupt their ecosystem too much, they will call you out and they will not enjoy it. It's not like a traditional sports fan that is used to being bombarded with advertising, sponsors on jerseys, LED boards. They will notice everything. So you need to make sure that you are adding value throughout whatever you do.
It's fascinating, and I want to come back to that later in this conversation, but you've used the term sort of audience a number of times already, so, and I appreciate it's broad, but can you just kind of paint a bit of a picture for us in terms of some of the kind of subcategories and perhaps dispel some myths about this audience too?
Yeah, so at EFG, if we focus on what we do, you know, we reach over 225 million gamers every year, and that's through broadcast, digital, in-person events. We see that our audience from a gaming perspective is pretty 50-50. On the esports level, it does tend to skew a bit more male, and obviously a lot of the talent is more male. It's a very young audience compared to traditional sports. Our average audience, I believe this year, is 26 and a half years old compared to the likes of Formula One, which are more in the 40s, for example. But what we do see is also the gaming community stays involved in gaming throughout their life. So they might start off as a gamer where they're actively playing, but even when they stop playing, they then transform into a viewer. So they will be following the content. They might become content creators themselves, but a lot of the times they become still actively involved by watching the gaming content, attending events and so on. So they stay involved throughout their life. People don't really fall out of gaming.
Fascinating. And how important are partnerships? I mean, you mentioned some hypothetical names earlier, but how important are brand partnerships to you and your growth strategy?
They're extremely important. I mean, our brand partners are really what bring our events to life and what allow us to put on the best events for our community. So we're lucky enough to work with fantastic global partners like DHL, Intel, Monster, and everything that we do with them is very much aligned with what the community wants and allows us to put on these incredible spectacles. And I always talk about DHL. I mean, DHL is one of my favorite partners. I think they're very good across their sponsorship portfolio and everything that they do, whether it's rugby or football or gaming. But, you know, we have people in our arenas that literally chant DHL when they come to Dota 2 events. And I don't think I've ever seen that happen in my career in sports. So
that's a marketeer's holy grail, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So tell me about some of the absolute kind of key principles to making those activations work.
Again, it really depends on what a brand wants to achieve through the partnership. But I would say the main things are always having a very clear storytelling strategy and to make sure that any IP that you're working with is intertwined with what you're doing. I think if somebody comes to gaming and just wants to do a very traditional sponsorship model, which is just a brand awareness piece, in most cases it would fall a bit flat. And you know, there might be brand awareness, but I'm not sure if then the sentiment would necessarily be a positive sentiment. But as soon as a brand really gets involved in that community And as I said before, gives back to that community. So whether it's, for example, DHL that does a recruitment campaign to help people get jobs and young people enter the job market, or whether it's Gucci, who did an incredible storytelling piece with us called Gucci Legends, looking at stories of, you know, icons within the gaming world and how they've overcome obstacles, but all with a Gucci lens. So it had that luxury flair to it, which really brings together the two brands. Or whether it's even just Intel, you know, Intel makes products that are core to the gaming audience. They need them. However, they are expensive. So just Intel giving back to the community with giveaways and Twitch drops and so on, that's always adding value. And when you're able to do that, especially with a long-term commitment. So being involved in the gaming community with a view of, you know, being involved for a long time will really change your approach, because short-term tactical activations don't really resonate with the audience. And I don't think they generate the results needed. But when a brand really commits, then you really see our audiences build a rapport with the brand that is very different to what we see in other entertainment realms.
And gaming, I think, is very much kind of integrated into the wider kind of communications and marketing kind of channel mix. You just mentioned Twitch drops just then. Tell me about sort of, you've got your kind of, your people are gaming, but then you've got this kind of layer above that, which is the kind of the viewers of the game. And then there's layers and layers and layers above that. Tell me about that kind of wider ecosystem, because obviously you're not just reaching the, was it 232 million gamers? There's a whole world engaged with you too.
Yeah, so our big tagline is actually worlds beyond gameplay. So we want to make sure that, of course, there's people that are actively playing the games, but we want to make sure that we're also then connecting the dots outside of just that gameplay. So for example, on Faceit, which is our platform, we have social features where community can really come together and have that feeling of coming together digitally. We have Faceit Watch, where people can watch their favorite content, but they're in control of the content. So unlike a traditional linear TV broadcast, people are fully in control about what they watch. What player do you want to look at? What angle do you want to look at? What replay do you want to watch? And so on. And then obviously we have the physical interaction with our fans as well, which is extremely important for us, because having that physical touch point as well is what builds that long-term loyalty and makes people obviously build that connection with our own brands, which are ESL, DreamHack, Faceit. We want people to really recognize those brands and fall in love with those brands. We have our gaming audience, which is actively taking part, but then we have all the viewers that are watching the content. We have people that just want to socialize around gaming. DreamHack is really I'm obviously biased, but I love DreamHack. In general, I love festivals, but whenever I go to any of our DreamHack events, it's just so incredible to see how gaming really intersects with so many cultural pillars. So you'll go to a festival, and we have people of all ages. You know, we have little children that are coming to try the latest Super Mario game. We have vets from the industry that, you know, maybe have been playing Tekken for however many years. Everybody's interacting. They're there to try new games, listen to new music, see what fashion, see what cosplay is being developed. And it's just such a cool intersection of all these communities. And you really see how much gaming impacts somebody's life and their identity, other than just the gameplay side of things.
And the media often talks about the sort of more negative kind of connotations of game and gameplay, right? Tell us more about the positive side of it.
Yeah, I think there's been actually a lot of research done where there's actually no correlation in terms of, for example, violence in video games. That's all been really myth busted around there. But what we see in gaming is obviously depending on what game people are selecting, but gaming really develops incredible teamwork skills, communication skills, especially anything that is team-based. So if you look at a Counter-Strike, for example, which is 5v5, people have very distinctive roles within those teams, and they need to act different ways and they need to strategize different ways. So it's actually developing all of these soft skills that are vital in life, vital in the workplace. So, you know, we see a lot of gamers that then go on to have incredible careers in STEM, for example, because they've developed a lot of skills that maybe just studying engineering or mathematics might not develop, and they're able to do all these things. So yeah, it's definitely a very diverse environment. Obviously, like anything else, not everybody will develop the same skills, again, depending on what you decide to play. But I've seen, yeah, incredible storylines of what people have gone on to do.
And of course, you know, some people reference gamers as athletes, and you know, some of their motor skills and their response times are you know, as impressive or better than perhaps traditional sports.
Yeah, my first ever gaming event was in 2022. So once we got rid of COVID and we were allowed to attend events again, and I remember I went to this event and I was just watching the gamers practice. Counter-Strike is played on PC, so they play with a keyboard and a mouse. And I was just watching how quickly they were moving, and it's actually mind-blowing. We actually do some tracking on how different players play, so you can track their mouse and what they do, and it's really cool to see like the strategies of how they move their mouse and the different ways that they play. But then one year we did a reaction test, and it was comparing Formula One drivers, and I don't know if people are familiar, but the reaction test with all the buttons that kind of light up and you need to identify them, compared to PC gamers. And a lot of the pro PC gamers were faster than the Formula One drivers, and Formula One drivers are the elite of the elite in terms of reaction times. So it's very cool to see these comparisons.
It's incredible that we're basically kind of helping build the skills for the, you know, the next generation in the workplace, as you said sort of earlier. When you're talking to the brands about partnerships and building these incredible relationships where they're chanting the name of the brand, which I love, other than that, as a metric and a measure of success, how else do you think about sort of measuring success?
Again, really depends on what the brand wants to achieve. So it will go from anything from, of course, your brand awareness piece, how many people are discussing what the brand is doing. You'll always talk about the sentiment around it. We'll always talk about engagement and how many people are, you know, actively participating. So whether it's a brand that has a physical activation, you know, how many people are coming through, participating in whatever it is that they're doing. And then digitally, obviously, we can track that journey a lot more. So on Faceit, for example, we do what's called missions, where we can do a branded environment where people can participate in a gaming mission. So it'll be a brand that sets certain objectives for people to achieve in game, and people are, you know, actively taking part in those branded missions. And then the rewards that are given are obviously brand related. So it kind of creates that connection to the brand. So yeah, there's lots of different metrics. A lot of them are obviously similar to what we see in the wider digital advertising ecosystem, and then the more physical ones are again more similar to what you would see in traditional sports in terms of eyeballs and so on. But gaming obviously has that ability to connect the digital and the physical that some other properties don't always have the ability to do.
And just talking about the organization itself for a moment, tell me about how you sort of structure the business. What are the kind of key kind of you know, mechanisms and you know, structures that you have in place? And I'd love to kind of hear more around also the kind of roles that you have, you know, in the business too.
Yeah, the business is very large now. Obviously, we were a merger of four different companies. So ESL, Faceit, DreamHack, and DreamHack Sports at the time. So we've brought together a lot of people with different skill set because they were working on very different products. So physical events, live events, and so on. So we are structured in a lot of ways, I think, similarly to any other brand in terms of marketing departments, fan engagement, commercial department. We have a broadcast department, but then we obviously have an enormous engineering department because of our Faceit side of the business, where we need to make sure that we are developing the best possible gaming platform. You know, we have a whole AI team because we have leading AI and anti-cheat technology and anti-toxicity technology on our platform, which is incredibly important in the gaming environment to have, to keep our users safe and comfortable in whatever they do. So I would say that we are at the intersection of being an entertainment company and a tech company in terms of how we're structured.
Amazing. And you, as a leader, what are the sort of skills that you look for in your teams?
So coming from a data background, I think just data analytics has always been something I've looked for, and working with primarily a team of analysts in commercial strategy, you want people that understand numbers. But I think the most important skill is then how do you translate anything that the numbers are telling you into actionable insights that mean something to brands? So I'm always looking for people that get the numbers, but then can storytell with those numbers. They can visualize them. They can really evoke emotions and get people involved in the story, even though they're not actively selling. So I'd say that's the most important thing for me.
Does anything come to mind when you, you know, can you look back and go, amazing piece of data, fantastic, found some insight, actioned it, result?
Ooh.
And I'm putting you on the spot there.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. I guess when I was at Formula One, we used to do some quite cool pieces of research around dwell time at the circuit. And it probably sounds pretty trivial, but we were able to connect to all GDPR compliant.
Of course.
We were able to connect to the pings of people's Wi-Fis, and we could identify how long people were spending in each part of the circuit. And that would then help us position what we were doing at the circuit. So if we wanted our merch to sell more, maybe we would place it next to the food section because that's where people had the longest dwell time. Or if everybody's going to pick up a Heineken beer, which is one of the Formula One sponsors, then you might want to say to Heineken, okay, everybody's coming to your bar here. Why don't we also do an activation there? So it really helped us to actually develop the layout of all our different circuits. Obviously, Formula One had the very unique experience of, you know, like a football club, like a Man City would always play at the Etihad. So they know exactly what the stadium looks like every week. Formula One, I think now they're up to 24 races. That's 24 different circuits that have a totally different layout. So it really helped us identify what we could do at every different circuit.
And from a data perspective, is that something that kind of runs horizontally across the entire group?
In terms of commercial data at EFG, yeah, I mean, we have a centralized research department that provides a lot of our brand studies and commercial data. Obviously, my team is then taking care of taking that data and putting that more commercial lens to it and making it viable for brands and interesting for brands rather than just a random data point on our audience. So yeah, we are all pretty intertwined, and commercial and marketing definitely work together as much as possible to understand our fans' feedback and obviously give that insights to the potential brands that are working with us.
So as you look forward, tell us a little bit about sort of what's next. Where is this going?
I think gaming will continue to flourish. I think, as I said before, it's such a big part of people's identity and just such a big cultural pillar that I think it will just keep expanding. And I think people will realize that everybody is a gamer, whether it's, you know, your grandma playing Candy Crush on her phone, or whether it's your kid that's, you know, playing Fortnite every night. Gaming is really for everyone. I think esports is going through a very interesting phase right now, where obviously it had a big boost during COVID because everybody was at home, and then it plateaued a bit, and now it's starting to grow again. And I think esports companies are also just learning how to professionalize a bit better, especially teams. They're figuring out their business models, how to work with talent, how to work with brands. So I think that's going to keep developing in a really positive way. And I think that the really exciting thing that's now happening, and I know that this buzzword keeps getting thrown around, the metaverse and everything happening there, but I think we already have quite clear games that are mimicking, if not are already a sort of metaverse. You know, when I was younger, I'd play The Sims, which already felt like metaverse, but now we have Roblox, we have Fortnite. So I think it's very exciting to see all the opportunities that we have to interact with people in an online format, engage them and allow them to really show themselves and their personalities in these online forums. And I think it's very exciting for brands getting involved, because you literally have the opportunity to, wouldn't say reproduce like for like, but have those synergies between real life and what, you know, kids want to be showing in real life and what they want to be showing in the virtual world as well.
And how do you see this IP that you're developing transcend into kind of other parts of culture?
I mean, we're already seeing it. And, you know, through our licensing division, we also already see that, especially in the gaming community, especially covering the game titles that we're close to, like Counter-Strike and Dota 2 and so on. People really love ESL, DreamHack, Face It, they have that connection to them because we've always delivered the events that they're most excited to attend. So I always find it incredible. I was in Rio de Janeiro last year for one of our events, and it was two years ago for a Counter-Strike major. And we open the doors at 11 in the morning. The games don't start until about 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And there were hordes of people running in just to queue up at our merch stall to buy all the latest ESL gear, because people really feel a sense of belonging to the brand and to somebody that is giving back to that community and allowing them to fully live their gamer dream. So I think that will keep happening, and we're still developing in terms of where we want our brands to be and what we're trying to also then do in that digital realm. It's a work in progress, but yeah, we're working on it.
And I'm a brand marketeer, and I'm listening to this fascinating conversation and this incredible opportunity that we see you painting a picture of. What advice would you give to that brand marketeer looking to take their first step?
I would say, go in with a long-term plan. I know a lot of people say dip your feet. I disagree. I think if you dip your feet in gaming, you are bound to fail or just see it as a failure, because you can't really compare it to any other entertainment pillar in terms of what you're trying to achieve or the results that you might garner. So go in with a long-term strategy, a long-term investment plan, and work with experts to really develop something that is authentic to that community. And don't be afraid to get involved with that community. Don't act like an awkward corporate partner that, you know, kind of wants to sit outside but wants the brand to be in there. Just get fully involved with different IPs, with different elements of gaming. And you'll see that if you sort of nourish that community, the community will love you back.
Julia, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer.